Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. My name is Dave Kubikin.
And good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
Hi, Jane Marie. Jay Marie and I are two of the attorneys at the Herzog Law Firm, and we're here every single weekend talking to you about estate planning and elder law and everything that goes with that. Sometimes we're together, Jay Marie, sometimes we're not, and this is one of the we're not.
Those are my favorite times, David.
Funny, mine too.
Good morning to you.
Well, I know exactly where you are and
that's
where
right.
John is. You don't know where I am, do you?
Yeah.
No, I don't know where you're calling in from.
It's a mystery.
I'll give you a hint. You can practice law in that state.
Oh, Massachusetts.
I am in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and I am like literally at the Rock.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
And I'm staring out into this bay, and I'm wondering how the heck a ship went all the way into here to hit this rock.
Yeah.
right.
I know what you mean. I've seen it.
It's low tide, so let's just say I could see lots of seagulls and stuff.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That sounds lovely.
It is. It's a really beautiful area. I mean, Massachusetts has it all. Let me tell you.
Yes, it has the coastline, and out there where you are, it's just beautiful.
What, so we're kind of staying at like a Hilton Garden Inn or something in, Plymouth, and it's about a 3-mile drive from the hotel to the shoreline, which is where I'm talking to you from. And I was amazed, Jay Marie, at, you know, it doesn't matter what part of this country you're at, if you're in Albany or if you're in Westchester or if you're in Plymouth, Massachusetts, if you drive 5 minutes, you are going to pass a senior living or assisted living or rehab facility. And I passed two of them.
Oh.
And I'm just like, geez, I can't escape this. It's everywhere.
Right. That's true. You didn't see because you're in Plymouth, but when I was driving in this morning, there's one of those alerts for a missing adult in the car.
And
whenever
it's
sad. And whenever I see that, I think of our clients who have Alzheimer's and wander, and I just feel so bad for that family, and I just hope they get that person back, you know?
Yeah.
You know, we often talk about that process of trying to take the keys away, right? Which is tough to do. But that's a conversation or a decision sometimes you just got to make.
It's tough. It's tough. Hopefully that all works out there.
Yeah.
You know, in getting ready for the show, I kind of Googled and found a list through like the aggregate website called Find Law. So sometimes if you're out there and you want an answer to a question about estate planning or really any legal question, you may like Google the question. Mm-hmm. And in your search results, sometimes you'll see ads for law firms. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll see something like a directory, like this thing called Find Law. Mm-hmm. And Find Law has this really helpful list. A lot of times these lists of, you know, top 8, top 10, top 12, you know, mistakes in estate planning are kind of all over the place, or they're written by non-attorneys, generally. Mm-hmm. But this list kind of hit it right on. And I thought, you know, since we are not together, mm-hmm. It might make sense to kind of go through some of these items on this top 10 list. And you know, people can sprinkle in their calls at 518-476-5900. And number one on the list, Jimmy, you wouldn't be surprised about this, it's not actually having an estate plan, which itself is, I guess, a form of estate plan. It is so incredibly important to have something in place.
Yes, it's very important. It's a shocking number of people who don't have anything done. You know, no wills, no powers of attorney and healthcare proxies. And I think they're just thinking, it's not going to happen to me, or I'll get it done before something happens to me.
I think they're in the I'll deal with it later camp, because I don't think anyone out there is thinking they're never going to pass away.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just, you know, they may not want to think about it. I understand that. We all understand that.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that there is a default plan in place. Like not having a plan is a plan. because there's statutes that say where your money is going to go. Mm-hmm. There are procedures for how to deal with an incapacity that you didn't deal with. You know, if you don't have a power of attorney, we're going to do the G word. We're going to do guardianship.
Right.
If you don't have a will, well, we'll still go through surrogates court. It's just not technically a probate. It's a state administration. Mm-hmm. The problem is sometimes the wrong people are getting money. Sometimes, you don't want to leave things equally to your children. Sometimes your children are actually children. They shouldn't be getting money at age 9.
Sometimes, and you don't want to leave half to your spouse and half to your children, right?
Certainly not. And then we always talk about how sometimes money is actually going up, not down to your kids, but up to your parents because of whatever mm-hmm. back pattern you have. So it's incredibly important to have some sort of plan. We have to realize reality. Mm-hmm. And those people that do not, those of you out there, if you're listening, you don't have an estate plan, you already do. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also probably have assets that go to certain people upon your death. That's part of an estate plan. You know, Jimmer, an estate plan is not just a will or a trust or a power of attorney. That's certainly a part of it, and that's the part that we deal with, and we think that's very important. But everyone has assets that go to somebody upon their death. Mm-hmm. That's part of your plan.
Right. Most people have some kind of an account that has a beneficiary on it. That's an estate plan, right? And if those beneficiaries aren't up to date, you know, it may go to people that you don't want it to go to.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And number two on this list here, mm-hmm. Jay Murray, is piggybacks just on what you were just saying, because not having contingent mm-hmm. beneficiaries is a huge problem.
Yes, that's right. We see this a lot where someone who's older comes in and they have children that they never added to their accounts, right? They may have put their spouse on as a beneficiary and then never updated it. Or even worse, sometimes I've seen clients who put their parents on when they were young, before they were married, as a beneficiary on maybe a life insurance policy, and then never updated it when they got married or had children. So you have to review those beneficiaries, you know, to make sure they're up to date. And that's part of the estate planning that we go over with you.
Yeah, you know, Jamie, yesterday I met with a young guy. I'll say he's young. He's probably a year or two younger than me. Mm-hmm. And he is a father of two. Mm-hmm. His two children are minors, but they're far older than my kids, so they're teenagers. Mm-hmm. And he's going through a divorce. Mm-hmm. That was the genesis of why we got together, for him to finally have a plan to take into account that, you know, wife is about to be ex-wife, and he, you know, wants to make sure that things don't accidentally go to her through his beneficiaries and through his plan. But I asked him, I said, of course you have life insurance. He said, yeah. I said, who's your beneficiary? And he said, it's my dad. Mm. And I said, how old's your dad? And he said, he's about 74. And I said, okay, well, going forward, once the ink is dry on your signature, on your will, and we're going to just do a basic will for him, mm-hmm. I want you to go to that life insurance broker of yours. Mm-hmm. I want you to say, I need a change of beneficiary form. And even though the idea of having your dad be the beneficiary was that he's going to provide for your kids, mm-hmm. right? He wasn't giving money to his dad just for his dad to have it. It was to take care of the kids. I said, no, your will have pages and pages of language about how that happens. Mm-hmm. So let's direct that money to go to your will. Have your estate be the beneficiary of your life insurance, and your will say that your dad is in charge of that money. So it's the difference between it going to your dad mm-hmm. or being money that is governed by your dad, managed by your dad.
Right, absolutely, because what if his dad, you know, he's healthy now, but what if he's in a nursing home in a couple of years? Then that money that goes to him would not be going to his children, that would be going to the nursing home instead.
Yeah, and the thing is that the provisions we were talking about for the kids were going out to possibly 30 years old, if not mm-hmm. older.
Right.
And the youngest of this gentleman's two children was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. So do the math, guys. It's mm-hmm. another 15 years. So
right.
at age 89, 90, first right. of all, is dad around?
Right.
Because if he's not, we got to make sure the money goes to the right people based mm-hmm. on the son's estate plan. Mm-hmm. If he's not doing well, like you mentioned, obviously there's long-term care aspects to it, and mm-hmm. you know, I'm pretty sure Medicaid isn't going to say, well, oh, it's, you know, we get it. It's too bad that son left it to the wrong person. You know what? It's fine. We're not going to count the money after all. It doesn't work that way.
The money
would be at dad's fingertips, which is the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of planning like that this week with trusts for beneficiaries, you know. Not just minors. I've had a couple clients with, disabled children or beneficiaries. And we're leaving the money not to them directly, but in a supplemental needs trust. And a lot of times they come in and they're like, well, I'm just going to cut that person out and not leave money to them. But you don't have to do that, right? You can leave it to them in a trust. So trusts in your will can be a really great planning tool.
You must be looking at this list I have here, because the number three thing on it was not planning for disability. Literally.
Oh, my gosh, really?
Yeah. If you get the number four right, I want to talk a little more about disability for a second, but if you get number four right, then I'm just going to hang up, and you can take care of the rest of the show.
No, literally, so I had three cases this week where we're doing supplemental needs trust for beneficiaries. It's just interesting. Yeah.
So, Jamie, I want to peel this just a little bit, because a lot of times when we're talking about, you know, a common question is, what's the difference between an executor and a trustee? Mm-hmm. We'll say, well, an executor is kind of the signatory of the estate, of the will, and will do what the will says, while a trustee is the signatory of the trust. They administer the trust during someone's life, and then they, you know, leave money to the right people and make sure the plan happens.
Mm-hmm.
But in a will that has an executor, you, just as you mentioned, can have a trust. And that trust language in your will could be for minors. It could be for people with disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, your will, that's part of your plan, is going to name a trustee. And it might be a trustee for the grandchildren, and then a different trustee for this special needs trust that you have within your will. Obviously, your trust that we create, your Medicaid trust and your revocable trust, can also leave things to people in trust. So there could be several layers of trust, or sometimes a basic will could have a trust in it, or two trusts in it, or three trusts in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on who survived mom and dad and how they are doing and how old they are and whether they have a disability. But that language is in there just in case.
That's right. We want to protect the money at all possible if we can, by making sure it goes to the beneficiaries, you know, in a way that the money will last for them. You know, if we don't have a supplemental needs trust, they're going to lose that money. So, if they're on Medicaid or if they have a disability like that.
Exactly right. And, you know, disability, it ends up being even minor children, but more disability becomes actually a useful tool for us when it comes to some of that Medicaid crisis planning, because one of the exemptions when it comes to the five-year look back and the transfers they look at are transfers to disabled children of the applicant. So the way, knowing the lay of the land for us is extremely important, because, you know, last second when we're doing some pretty heavy-duty planning because someone does need a nursing home, we need to know all these little details, and that kind of gets back to the very first encounter. We have a client questionnaire, and we need that thing filled out to the brim, as good as possible, as detailed as possible, because the clients never know what exemptions may apply, Jamie, but we obviously do.
Right. And let's get to number four in your list right after this break.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, West Harrison Street in Saratoga Springs, Executive Woods in Clifton Park, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Harry, please call us during normal business hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us at our Albany office, call 518-465-7581. Our Saratoga Springs office, 518-581-8131. Our Clifton Park office at 518-952-4010. And our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm.
Good morning. We're back. My name is Dave Kabitkin.
And my name is Jane Marie Schaefer.
Jane Marie and I, in the first half of the show, have been talking about some of the top 10, I don't know if this is in a particular order or not, Jane Marie, but top 10 estate planning mistakes. And Jane Marie has been reading this list without actually having the list in front of her. She's going one by one, not knowing it. And if you missed it, it was actually not having an estate plan. Well, that's an obvious one.
Right.
Not having contingent beneficiaries or the right beneficiaries on your assets, your estate plan. Things change over time. Divorces happen. Marriages happen. Hell, I'm at a wedding right now. So disability is the thing that we need to plan around. That was number three. And number four, which we didn't get to, and this is a big one. We talk about it every single weekend, is not pre-planning for your nursing home needs and your long-term care. Jane Marie, you cannot see my face. It's blue. But we talk about this ad nauseum.
Right.
No matter what, there's always something we could do. But the earlier you plan, the more we can do, the more we could save. The later you plan, for the most part, unless there's some unbelievable exemptions that we, and we get, you know, lucky here. There our options are worse and worse, and we're going to start losing some pretty heavy-duty money for clients. Saving some. All won't be lost. That's where something can be done. But guys, you can't put your head in the sand. I'm in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I drove 3 miles. I saw two.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that.
Well, you know what? It's a little gravelly here.
Okay.
The salty air.
That's right.
But guys, I mean, and actually it was funny, Jane Marie, it was, I didn't realize that the chain of assisted living, goes well beyond New York, because there was, I won't say the name of the facility, but let's just say there's a number of them in our capital region.
Oh.
And they're popping up everywhere.
Right.
Everyone's getting older.
That's right. They are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But in terms of planning ahead, I met with someone this week and we're doing Medicaid for her husband, who's been in and out of nursing homes, and the nursing home is helping her do the application, which is always a mistake. But anyway, we're trying to get him covered. He went in January, as far back as we can go, and so I think we're going to get him covered because he had some Medicare days in, and then we'll switch to Medicaid. But then she said, oh, yeah, he was in and out of the nursing home last year, and she paid privately. And she's like, I knew I should have done something, but I was just too overwhelmed, and I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She never called us. So she paid privately last year, and it was only when she kind of had some time this year that she came in.
Well, they're right on the overwhelming part, Jamer. It is, it is a really difficult time, because not only are there finances that someone may not be fully aware of for mom or dad.
Right.
They're missing work. They got their own kids to worry about, their own family to worry about. They promised their mom they're never going to put them in a nursing home or, I'm going to take care of you. But the reality of that is a lot different than saying it. And it becomes a really, really stressful time. And you're going to listen to whoever's offering you advice. We like that. We want that to be with, professionals that are in this area of law, specifically when it comes to the planning part. We've seen a lot of bad advice that works out for the people giving the advice, let's put it that way.
Right.
Not so much for the people getting the advice. Go to an elder law attorney. We are two of them. We are not the only ones in the world and certainly in town. So just make sure you go to experts. We're pro. I think that's safe to say, Jimmer. We are pro experts, right?
Yes, we are. You should go, to someone who knows this law. It doesn't have to be us, but you shouldn't be going to your real estate attorney or your business law attorney. You need to go to an elder law attorney to get this advice about a nursing home.
You know, not your neighbor's mechanic, not your friend's friend's friend, nothing like that. Just at least every fact pattern is so technical, and what works for your neighbor doesn't necessarily work for you. It works both ways, by the way, because Jerry, I can't tell you the number of times that we've had clients come in, and even the note on the consultation says they're here to create a trust. And then I meet with them and say, well, no, we're not doing a trust for you. We don't need a trust for you. But, by the way, this 41-year-old, I think it was, that I met with yesterday, the one who's you know, doing the basics and wanted to have provisions for his kids and so on, he was one who was interested in the trust. And we went through things and said, you're 41. We're not going to do trust right now. Now, you don't have property in multiple states. We don't have, we're not in that second marriage yet with kids from previous relationships. We are where we are. And so where we are right now will... makes a lot of sense for you.
Yeah, he probably doesn't need to look at a trust, like you said, unless he gets married again or until he's, and this is something we talk about, in his 60s maybe, you know, it's kind of the age where you'd want to look at elder law planning. What age is that?
Jamie, number five on this list here, Jamie, and now I feel like by and law, then this list was reading my diary, because now they're really getting to the heart of what ticks me off. Number five mistake, putting your child's name on the deed to your home.
Ah, yes. Absolutely.
I could feel your blood boiling as I said those words.
I've had a few conversations about that recently, you know, because obviously, well, not obviously, but I mean, to us, we know doing a deed is cheaper than doing a trust, but there's so many reasons why a trust is going to be better for you. Just right off, if you put your child's name on the deed and your child has, you know, a lien against them, a bankruptcy claim, a divorce, you know, that's your house that you're living in. And with your child's name on the deed, you could lose it, right?
There's, Jeremy, there's like a local election taking place today in Plymouth. So there's already people on corners holding signs. And I don't know what Proposition B is, but I think people are for it and against it, so we'll see how that goes. I feel like holding a sign that says, you know, puppets, not partners, because we don't want our clients to have partners. This is not a business, okay? We don't need your kids to be, you know, hip to hip with you on owning your property. We want you to control everything while avoiding probate, while making sure it goes to the right people, while taking into account that you're not going anywhere for a while. God willing, you're going to be alive for a really long time, and you're going to have really good health during most of that time. And as we get older, things will start to happen. But I want you to be able to change your plan. I want you to be able to say, hey, you know what? One of my kids hasn't seen me in 10 years. I'm not sure I want them to get this house, as opposed to the other child who's been on their hands and knees taking care of me for the last 10 years. That's a, you know, well, what are the chances that's going to happen? That's a pretty specific fact pattern. I don't know. I just made it up, but it happens, and I just want you to have power.
What if your child's on the deed with you and you want to sell the house and they don't agree?
No, I grew up in that home, Jamie. I don't want to sell that house.
Right.
I'm living there with you. I'm taking care of you. I can't find a job. I don't want to sign off on that.
There's nothing you can do when they're on the deed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jamie, kids pass away. Kids, you know, have creditors. Things happen. And we need to make sure that the flexibility is there. Just from a selfish point of view, you know, we do the power of attorney, and we want certain powers in that power of attorney. So we know no matter what happens down the road, we can do our best to fix it and have the right kind of plan for the right kind of fact pattern. Why? Because even if mom is incapacitated, her kids on the power of attorney are mom. They are mom. They are signing for her. They can do everything she could have done, right? We want that control for mom, even if it's through her agents. When we do a trust, mom keeps that control, because while she's alive, she has the ability to change things like trustees and beneficiaries and so on. Even if it's done through her power of attorney, we could still get it done. Once we have partners, Jamie, you and I are partners. Thank God we're partners. I couldn't ask for a better partner, okay? What if you stunk? What if I?
Hey,
that's right.
So that's a formal arrangement. We're going to have a formal breakup,
right?
As opposed to if I'm just your puppet, you say, "Oh,
mm-hmm. I'm replacing
I don't like
you
them anyway," and then you replace me with another puppet,
right?
And
right.
that power, you know, it's not because bad things are going to happen; it's because bad things might happen. That's why we do all of this.
Mm-hmm. Right. You don't want to be stuck in a situation that you can't change, because you may do that deed with the life estate when you're 60. Who knows where you're going to be when you're 85, you know? Yeah. Things change a lot.
Absolutely. We are anti-life estate deeds unless it really, really makes sense, which does happen at times.
There are
the last one that we probably situations. Have time for here, Jay Marie. This one we don't talk about nearly enough, and we have a couple minutes here. It's choosing the wrong person to handle the estate. Yes, yes, yes. So who's going to be my trustee? I'll just have my kids be it.
Mm-hmm.
Are they the right person? I don't know. Mm-hmm. Who's the right, what are the qualities of the right person, would you say, Jamie? If I said to you, I'm choosing between my two kids, are there certain qualities you think are better, or are some overrated in terms of qualities? What do you think?
I think you want the one who's going to be responsive, I guess, right?
Responsive,
not just responsible. You know, who's going to handle things in a timely manner, right? I mean, they don't have to really understand the ins and outs of investing. I mean, they could have someone do that, or money management, but they really need to be on top of managing things or getting people to do that management for them.
I love it, Jamie. And I'd add to it on that responsive, being able to communicate.
Yes.
You know, if it's the family member who holds the most grudges, that's probably not the best person to voluntarily communicate what's going on with an estate with their siblings.
Right.
You know, they say, like, information is power.
Yep.
And so withholding information is sometimes a way that clients' kids are exerting power over their siblings.
Mm-hmm.
It's absurd. It leads to unnecessary litigation and people lawyering up. But okay. I think someone who is you know, smart enough to talk to experts.
Yes.
Right?
Right. Smart enough to get the information. Right.
Then has the ability to see the bigger picture. This is a plan that mom and dad had. It's not their plan. Mm-hmm. And their job is to execute this thing to the best of their abilities and so on.
Yes, that's right. And communicate that information to the other beneficiaries. It's really important that they do that.
Jimmy, I have an estate. My oldest estate that still is around is from 2015.
Mm-hmm.
So do the math, guys, 8 years. I could say immediately that was because the wrong person was named executor at the outset.
Right. That's right. Yep. No, it's an important, and when you come in to meet with us, we're going to help you kind of go through that decision, decide who's the right person. Hey, enjoy your wedding, David.
I'm not getting married, Jamie, but thank you.
Okay,
guys. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Hour with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you'd like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581, the Saratoga office at 518-581-8131, or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.